Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the most reckless morning radio program ever to grace the internet, proudly bringing you the best in technical difficulties since 2006. You wanted the best. You're getting two dudes making brrrk sounds in their underwear instead, and contrary to popular opinion, that was a chicken, not a duck. This is PC Live, your 60-minute verbal adrenaline rush of politics, pop culture, pugilism. That means I'm punched in a mush, folks, and the very best poultry news this side of Amsterdam. I'm Mark Rattledge, and even though I can't seem to get on a regular sleep schedule, I'm still your political shrink. No monologue today. None. Zero. Zilch. Squat. We are not doing a monologue today. I'm going to bring Reverend John right on to talk about how the GOP is throwing away the 2008 election, starting with the black folks. And speaking of Reverend John, he will be reviewing Chris Jericho's new book on the PC Live Book Club today. Plus, all the brrrk that's fit to print, and again, that's a chicken, not a duck. It's the brrrk report. All of this, plus your phone calls, instant messages, a good friend Pete, nasty emails, and whatever else we can fit in today's show, only on PC Live. And remember, if you're not offended, it's not PC. First, let's give out the number to call into the show. That number is 646-915-8862. Again, the number to call into the show, 646-915-8862. And if you just tuned in and you realize that I'm not on Instant Messenger, it's because I haven't turned it on yet. People who try to screw me up whenever I do my intro. But I will be turning it on momentarily. And if you still want to Instant Message me, that's MARKKIND1976. Again, MarkKind1976. After the show is over, you can catch a recap on PC-Live.tv. That's our blog, PC-Live.tv, for all the updates and for the wrap-up of the show. And now, for my brethren in arms against pants, here he is, Reverend John. Howdy do, John.
You got it backwards. If you're not offended, then it is PC.
No. If you're not offended, then it's not PC. The double negative.
No. If you are offended, then it's not PC.
I like it the way I do it. If it's not offensive, then it's just not PC.
Right, but if it's not PC, then it would be offensive. The point of things being PC is to not offend anyone about anything.
Except that we're not politically correct. We're progressive conservatism. Remember?
So, if it's not offensive, it's not progressive conservatism.
Right. We are a brand. We are a brand that is about offending people.
And what's this about people thinking Bergerk is a duck?
Last night I went on a date.
Wait a second. You're on a date and you actually talked about going Bergerk?
No, this was in the date aftermath.
The date aftermath?
Yes. In the date aftermath, what happened was she had called me. She was calling me while she was packing because she's going on a business trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting at my computer. We were kibitzing for a while. I was kind of talking her to sleep, as I am wont to do.
That's funny.
And I said, look, since you're talking to me while I'm at my computer, you can help me with the show. And I said, why don't you help me find a article? And she went, did you just make a duck sound? I said, no, that's chicken. This is from worldpoultry.net. And I need a story.
And
by the way, somebody else yelled at me this week. One of our listeners yelled at me. Mm-hmm. He does not a live listener, he's an archive listener.
Okay.
Yelled at me and said, for the love of God, stop making brek sounds on your show.
Okay. Well, that guy's an idiot.
No, he's not. If you knew who he was, you'd like him.
As far as the date goes, and you being about, talking about Bagak.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this in about a week from now when you're wondering why she doesn't return your phone calls anymore.
Actually, she was quite cool about the whole thing. I mean, she absolutely has no interest in ever listening to our show, and that's part of the reason why, and I'm encouraging this.
Yes. Attention girls of the world who might be dating Mark, don't listen to the show.
No. Don't listen to the show. Don't read anything I write. Ignore the fact that I have a creative bone in my body.
Or an opinion.
Yes. No. She was fine with opinions.
Oh, okay.
She was fine with opinions. We conversed very nicely. She is an expert conversationalist. What she has no interest in is listening to me make fun of people on the radio.
Okay, that's good.
Or making chicken sounds.
Okay.
So with that said...
As long as you're not negative.
Right.
Speaking of negative, let's talk about Republicans and black people.
Okay. This week I wrote an article called Pissing Away the Possible Black Vote, in which the impetus of this article was there had been a debate. This is from my article. Let me get everyone up to speed here. It was blatantly obvious that the top Republican presidential contenders were absent from the Tavis Smiley-moderated All-American Presidential Forum on PBS Thursday night. It was obvious when Tom Joyner, host of the nationally syndicated Tom Joyner morning show, noted the absence in his opening remarks. It was obvious when Tavis Smiley noted the lecterns left empty because John McCain, Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, and Fred Thompson chose not to show. Most obvious, however, was the opportunity they missed, an opportunity to show they care for more than their base voting bloc. A popular assumption is that McCain, Romney, Giuliani, and Thompson skipped the Republican All-American Presidential Forum because their conservative viewpoints would not be welcomed. From the start of the debate, however, which was held at the historically black Morgan State University, it was clear they missed an opportunity to pay homage to and therefore be a part of black achievement. They missed an opportunity to show they are leaders willing to meet with folks different from themselves, and they missed an opportunity to speak to black voters and shape the perception they hold beyond the rhetoric of their Democratic opponents. In short, black folks had a debate. The four major Republican contenders opted not to show, thus giving the finger to black people once again. And then they wonder why they're not doing better in the polls, and they're going to wonder in 2008 why they can't beat Hillary. Your witness, sir.
The first thing I didn't understand is, isn't Tavis Smiley, isn't he like conservative, the black Avenger, Tavis Smiley? Or am I thinking of a different guy?
I don't know that much about Tavis Smiley, to be honest with you. I know that he's a heavy hitter as far as blacks in the political spectrum. But what exactly is your point?
Well, I just thought it was odd that not only would they be shunning black people, but they'd be shunning one of the few who are actually conservatives in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much different this would have been if it was the black presidential debate brought to you by J.C. Watts.
Yeah, but this is, it's beyond stupid. You know, we had a moment when MoveOn.org told the Democrats not to appear on Fox and, attacked the Democrats, and justifiably so, because they're basically, they're afraid to talk to a hostile crowd, and that could have been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been an issue that they don't want to talk to mainstream America. It could have been an issue that you have John Edwards telling everyone they have to return all their News Corp money, even though he got $500,000 from News Corp for a book deal. It could have been an issue where Hillary Clinton, to sell her health care plan, actually appeared on Fox News the day she was supposed to be at the debate that she wasn't going to go to. So instead, we have to one-up them. By first almost backing out of the YouTube debate until the internet said, no, wait a second.
What in the hell do you think you're doing? It's the 21st century. Get with it. Get rhythm.
That got rescheduled. they were getting ready to say that we don't care about anyone under the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did agree to say is that only John McCain is the one who cares about Latinos, because after the venom they unleashed during the immigration debate, no Spanish people are going to want to talk to him. And then to even further follow that up, not show up at a debate geared toward Black Americans. It's just, I think they just want to lose.
You know, I can only assume that strategy has somehow left the Republican Party. They don't know how to win elections anymore, which definitely gives rise to the idea that the only person in the Republican Party who knew how to win elections was Karl Rove.
Yeah.
You know, and it was by cheating and by everything else, but at least he knew how to win. Well, he knew how to get the job done.
He didn't cheat. He played dirty.
Yeah, he did. He definitely played dirty, and I believe that was actually one of his rules.
Yeah, I mean,
was always play dirty.
I mean, you know, his rule is, I don't have an opinion. my only goal is to making sure you win by any means necessary.
But in war, in anything where there's a competition of sorts, you don't want to give your enemy ground. And this has been my point with the Republicans. Hillary Clinton wakes up in the morning and has both the Black and the women and the liberal vote. That's at least a third to half of the little less than half of the country.
Yeah.
It's like 40%. Okay? The Republicans wake up in the morning and have, you know, the grown-ups. The grown-ups, the evangelicals, the libertarians, and the conservatives. That's the other 40%. There's still that 20% in the middle that, A, don't pay attention to politics,
mm-hmm.
or B, haven't really made up their mind yet, or so dissatisfied with their current party, be it Republican or Democrat, they can be bought. They can be convinced of something else.
Yeah, and you know, I understand the logic, the technical logic behind why they wouldn't want to go to the debate, but there's also more of like the symbolic look of what it looks like by not showing up.
Well, that's what I was getting to. When you're Hillary Clinton and you wake up in the morning already with the Black vote, it gives you an opportunity to concentrate on the votes you don't automatically get.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean by you don't give your enemy ground. She already wakes up with more ground than the Republicans do, any one of them, which means they have to work doubly hard to, one, maintain the people that they thought they had already, two, it gives them less time to work on the people they didn't have at all,
mm-hmm.
which is who Hillary Clinton is contesting. That's my point, is you can't just give Hillary Clinton an entire, you know, you can't just give Hillary Clinton an entire group, an entire voting block without contesting for it. If you do, you've already thrown out the election.
Right. But, and sometimes, you know, simply the fact by showing up at the places where you're not expected to helps, because Mike Huckabee wound up getting the endorsement of the Mechanics Union,
mm-hmm.
or the Machinists Union, where they asked for the First Amendment. They split their endorsement between Republican and Democrat. Hey, he was the only one who showed up.
We're getting an instant message from our third man. It says, don't forget the 2% that actually believes there could be a viable third party, and that's also very true. You know, there are people out there that are seriously considering if he actually opts to run, voting for Mike Bloomberg.
He's not going to run.
You have James Dobson this week who said, to hell with it. If one of the major candidates is not going to stand up for the pro-life agenda, I'll vote for somebody who I know isn't going to win. So we're already – the Republicans are already screwed, because there's an entire sect of people out there perfectly willing to nader this election.
Well,
and if you didn't understand what I just meant, I said nader the election. For those that don't understand what that means,
look it up.
No, I'll explain it really quickly. Gore probably would have won the election in 2000 had a sliver of the Democrat Party not voted for Nader.
Yeah.
The same thing actually with I think it was Dole and Clinton, where enough Republicans voted for Ross Perot. Ugh.
No, I mean that was Clinton Bush. You know, Bob Dole never had any chance of winning.
Okay, I missed my wrong election then. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Whenever there's a third-party spoiler in there, there's always the opportunity that the main guy is going to end up losing enough votes that the person who shouldn't have won does.
Yeah.
So this is the problem here. You know, as a registered Republican and a mandated reporter, frankly, I'm mortified. I don't see where any of the main four Republican candidates.
Actually, Mark, we're getting a caller.
Really?
And not one of the usuals.
Hang on one second, because I just want to go give my dog food. Bob Dole believes in Bob Dole. Yeah, thank you, Pete.
Bob Dole doesn't like that.
All right, we are going to take a call.
Wow.
And I'm not going to give away the number this time.
Just say the area code, 580.
Right. 580, you are on PC Live.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Noel here from well, I'll give it away. I'm in Oklahoma right now. I'm listening to your show. I'm a ex-military individual, 25 years in the military, and, you know, retired recently. And you know I listen to a lot of shows that cover the political aspect, Republican and Democrat, and being a soldier. You know, we sit up sometimes and we laugh at some of the rhetoric that goes on between the Democrats and the Republicans. And then I look where you said it has to do with the black vote. But if you look at the demographic of the United States of America, right, blacks mm-hmm. only account for 35 million, a little bit over, okay? But I'll give to see over 50% of those don't vote, okay?
And it's very true and unfortunate.
It's a fast because, you know, they're black Republicans, black Democrats, but an individual that, for me, I don't see, and being a military guy, I don't see I don't see where it comes down to Democrat or Republican, because we sitting up here, and the reason why I said we laugh is because some of us sit up in a tent. You know, a lot of my friends in Iraq right now, some coming back dead, and so on and so forth, and we see this infighting. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and people talking about they care about the soldiers, they don't care, and so on and so forth. They don't see the big picture. They only study about either I'm a Republican or a Democrat. You know, and it's both Republican and Democrat soldiers sitting over there in Independence, getting their head blown off, getting their leg shut off, getting
right.
their eyes missing. You see, and
mm-hmm.
and when we stood up there and looked at that, you know, it's just, you know, for me personally, I was so disappointed to the point where. You know, I have young men and women under my charge, you know, getting killed, you know, and regardless if the mother is a Democrat, a Republican, or they are, so on and so forth. But as a soldier, I can't sit up here and resign and go into the corporate world and make a lot of money. Somebody put us in that situation. We got Rumsfeld screwed up. We got Rove. We got Gonzalez. All of them can resign and leave and go. You know,
right.
finish what a task. Do like the soldiers do. If you really put your hands up, right, and said, I'm here to protect and defend the United States of America, right, you stay the course. When the fire gets hot, don't leave. Do like a soldier and stay the course. So,
right.
so that's where I lose the respect, both for Democrats and Republicans. That's why I lose the respect for them, because when they sit up there in that White House, right, I know the president has to go and they have to go after 4 or 8 years, but steer the course. Don't in the middle of the course leave and tell me that you're patriotic. The patriotic individual is the one who leaves the specs for who is on welfare, right? And we think they think they're making money in the United States Army, and they're over there, and then, you know, when you come back in a body bag. Sometimes, you know, I just lost a friend sitting up in here. His wife couldn't even open the casket because his face got blown off.
Right, and I guess part of the message that you're trying to get across is that in both parties, they seem to, you know, kick around the military like it's a pawn in the middle of trying to win an election, and they don't really see it for what its value is and what it's worth.
That's what it is.
It's the military, and I want to thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for your service as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Both parties definitely use the military to bludgeon one another. As you know, as opposed to seeing it as an instrument in A, defending America, and B, keeping America safe, which are actually two different things.
Yeah.
So I think he's right. And
well, there was also something that interesting that came out of the Democratic debate from like a week or two ago,
mm-hmm.
where prior to the General Petraeus ad from MoveOn.org, all the big Democrats is, you know, we're going to get the troops out, we're going to end the war, we're going to pull everyone out. and it's like, you know, by such and such a date. All of a sudden, after the backlash, after the MoveOn.org ad, and now that they can no longer, MoveOn.org has become a liability, now all of a sudden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards are having a responsible position where they're saying, well, we can't promise that we're going to get people out by 2012.
And I made fun of the Democrats and the people who voted for the Democrats in 06 because that was so driven by the idea of, oh, they'll get us out of the war, they'll get us out of the war. And nothing proves how slow Washington is. Excuse me, how slow Washington is, or just how little power individually certain politicians have by the fact that they ran on one idea and couldn't get the one idea done. This is what makes me laugh about talking with politics with people who don't follow don't really follow politics, or are just so consumed with anger and adolescence that they don't see the complexity in it. Everyone always kind of lays magic powers at the feet of certain Republicans. You know, the president somehow is the Wizard of Oz, who can do just about anything with a snap of the fingers. These are also the same people who think that there's wild conspiracies going on in Washington. These are the same people who can't keep any secrets.
Yeah.
But, you know, they say the same thing. It's, you know, they have these magic powers, they can do all this stuff, they can create all this controversy and blah, blah, blah. It's like, the entire Democrat Party ran on the idea of we're pulling out the troops. They have yet to come even close to accomplishing this. Nancy Pelosi, who's Sean Hannity's whipping girl. Whipping girl. Mm. Sorry, got a little Whoopi Goldberg in my head there for a second.
It's okay.
Said, look, if you don't vote for Republicans, you vote for Nancy Pelosi. And she still won. She's still Speaker of the House. And it has accomplished squat.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, the difference if you don't vote for Republicans, people weren't voting for Democrats, they were voting against the people who were in charge.
Right. They said they wanted a change, and they wanted, you know, a change in Iraq. And for the most part, they got it. Rumsfeld's gone. I mean, the one thing he said there, the caller who just came in from Oklahoma, was, you know, we should stay the course, and while I'm loath to disagree with soldiers who debate me, what the hell else was Rumsfeld supposed to do? The man was a liability to the military. You know, he needed to go so that they could get a different strategy in there, because clearly his strategy wasn't working.
Yeah, and also, you know, why did he eventually resign? It wasn't because he was incompetent, and it wasn't because we needed like a different course to help the troops. He resigned because it was because of the PR for the Bush administration.
Right.
You know, he should have been fired in 2004. And they should have gotten Gates or someone else new in, who actually, I don't know, maybe knew what they were doing. But instead, like, no, I'm sticking with my people. I'm sticking with my people. Oh, look, we just got beaten in the election. Rumsfeld, you're gone.
Right. You know, I think if they had won the election, they might have kept him on a little bit longer, because they have this thing about wanting to protect their own. And, you know, I mean, everybody that leaves the Bush administration writes a book just eviscerating the Bush administration.
Yeah.
Paul O'Neill, George Tenet. Certainly, what's his face?
Paul Bremer?
No, well, he didn't really eviscerate the administration. I still think his book was fine. No, the one guy, Against All Enemies, Clark.
Okay.
Richard Clark. You know, anytime, I would imagine they don't fire people at this point because they don't want to be put on blast anymore in book form. But getting back to where we started with this, he was saying, And he did make a good point here, that if 50% of the black people don't vote, you can certainly see why, if you're not going to get the black vote, if you're not going to get 50% of only, you know, 35 million, whatever the number was, people, what would be the point? Now we're talking about negligible numbers here, except those negligible numbers could be the difference between the election in favor of Hillary or the election in favor of Rudy. And let me tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
There's this major effort out there to get people to vote, black people included. You know,
one thing about the vote, rock the vote, whatever. Yeah, one thing about that, because I know a friend of mine was telling me one time about people like his grandmother, who lives in a part, I think either Atlanta or North Carolina, where they basically some of them don't have plumbing. You know, sometimes it's like the church organizes buses to get people to the polls, but where they live, they keep on making it harder and harder for them to get to the polls, and there is little to nothing you could do to make them think that their vote's going to count. And a lot of that makes up to the 50% of black people who don't vote.
Mm-hmm. So that's the point. There is an effort out there to try to improve that. There's an effort out there to increase voter education to such that people are encouraged to vote. And I know educated people who just throw their hands up and say, "Woof, I don't even care. I'm so disenchanted by the people running or by the political system that I'm not even going to bother." In which case, again, the Republicans screwed up, because now we're talking, because if you start talking about the people who don't vote at all,
mm-hmm.
now you're missing an opportunity to brand people.
To get them to vote.
I mean, it's marketing 101. If a person buys toothpaste for the first time in their life, the odds are they'll buy that toothpaste for the rest of their life. If you can get somebody who's never voted before to vote for Mike Huckabee, the odds are they'll vote Republican in the next election and the election after that. Marketing 101, branding, it really does work. And the Republicans are going, meh.
It's kind of funny, though, because there's one thing about armchair quarterbacking where, from the comfort of your own home or from the comfort from your computer, you know better than the actual experts. But, I've had this conversation with other people. And it looks like my one friend Lee, who goes the other way, and the complaining we do about the Republicans, he does a lot of complaining about the Democrats. And we'll talk about what we think should happen and what seems like a smart idea. And granted, like I said, we're not the experts. It could just be like Monday morning quarterbacks. Everything else we say seems to make a lot of sense. Nothing any of the politicians doing make any sense whatsoever.
No, I mean, it almost seems, and again, image is everything, and it seems right now that the Republicans are so worried about losing their evangelical vote, they're not concentrating on the other 90% of the country.
And the evangelicals are idiots also, because they're talking about, who's going to carry a mantra? They've got Mike Huckabee, who can articulate what they're saying the Christian vote by still being a nice guy. And
yes,
not
he can
having
articulate not believing in evolution without sounding like a complete idiot.
Yeah, without it being like the only issue, and he's a viable candidate, and even lesser if they're that concerned about it, they're Sam Brownback. But I was, they're throwing their own name for the third party candidate, and it's like three people whose names I haven't heard of before. I mean, there are two people running now who you can get behind, send them money and help them get into the White House. But instead of doing that, they're either going to go with Romney because, at least even though you don't believe him, he's at least saying that he believes what you believe. Or they're going to pick someone who no one's ever heard of just to prove a point.
Okay, we got another phone call here, and I'm going to take this last phone call before we move on to the next segment.
Okay, are you going to play his music? Because I've got to run downstairs and get my book.
No, I'm not playing his music.
Okay, so
I don't know if this is actually him or not. 631, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's actually me. You could have played my music.
Well, tough.
Okay.
You want to be you want to be the Jim Norton of this Opie and Anthony show? You don't get music anymore. Just come on.
Oh.
All right, I accept that.
You took a bit. I'll be right back.
Where do you stand on the Republicans throwing away the vote and the election?
I think it really comes back to the evangelicals. They're the ones that got Bush in office the first two times.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're, judging 90% of our policies on 2% of the population.
This is true, and I think that's part of the reason why the Republican Party is made up of a lot more than just evangelicals. They just happen to be instrumental in getting Bush in.
Correct.
You've got, like I said, your libertarians, you've got your fiscal conservatives, you've got a slew of other people that make up Republicans. Certainly, certainly people like you who are definitely, pro-gun rights. They may not believe in much else, but they believe in their guns.
Exactly.
Well, and they deserve to be heard, too. Go ahead.
I guess, speaking of which, we talk about the Republican Party falling apart. There was in Laura Ingraham's new book, I haven't read it yet, but I know she made this one point, where if the Republicans keep going the way they're going, people are going to turn towards like Democrats like Jim Webb.
Who don't take no mess.
Yeah. No, but we're basically saying, listen, Iraq's a mess, and it's made us less safe and taken away our focus from the actual war on terror, which, quite frankly, is a good message that people are going to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's still pro-gun rights. He's mainly like a conservative. They're going to get behind conservative Democrats.
This is where Iraq is definitely going to end up being an albatross on the Republicans. And then, Pete, I'm going to give you the last word, and we'll move on. And that is, that is a very strong message Webb is putting out there. It's a message that the Democrats can and have gotten behind. There were Democrats that were for the Afghan war. There are Democrats that are saying, look, I don't care if we expend every soldier we've got looking for Osama bin Laden and fighting the terror groups. That's fine. What they don't buy is Bush's war on Iraq, which seems to have come out of the ether. And again, if there are politicians who get behind that message, that's a winner. Go ahead, Pete.
Actually, it's not really coming out of the ether. Basically, the evangelicals believe that Armageddon is coming when Babylon gets rebuilt. Babylon is in Iraq, and Saddam actually turned it into a theme park. It sounds like a joke. It really isn't. sad part.
But I don't think that's actually evangelicals as a whole, but there's like a sect called Dominionists. Dominionists, the evangelicals, are kind of like the 9/11 conspiracy theorists, the Democrats.
Right.
Yeah, I actually covered this in a conspiracy or quack segment called the Battle of Gog and Magog, which if you Google Gog and Magog, you'll find it. You may even actually find my article. Basically, I understand the conspiracy theory here that the Bush administration is bringing on the Battle of Gog and Magog, and we're still fighting Russia.
Don't trust anyone!
Shoot him now! Shoot him now!
And, okay, where is the damn... here we go. All right, here it is. The decidedly unpolitical... Back!
Chicken Boo, what's the matter with you? You don't act like the other chickens do. You wear a disguise to look like human guys, but you're not a man, you're a chicken boo.
Kermit, I'll take a picture of this chicken.
Once again, worldpoetry.net finds the oddest pictures to place with their stories. We may or may not have breaking news during this segment, but if we do, you're going to want to actually get to the end of this story because it's awfully funny to me.
Okay.
And with that telegraph, worldpoultry.net presents...
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Mark, it looks like we have breaking news.
You're a jerk. I'm not going to the breaking news.
Okay, fine.
And if you keep hitting buttons, I'm going to log you out of the switchboard. Let's get through this, and then we'll do breaking news.
Okay.
The breaking news can wait.
It's breaking, though.
I don't care.
Okay.
I'm the Brit Hume of this show, and I'll tell you when we got breaking news.
Go ahead. Go do it.
Someone have a god complex?
I think so.
WorldPoultry.net presents...
I'm not going to bug off of you now.
Pete, you do it.
I'm sorry. I will not submit to your will.
You guys suck. Back! Dateline, October 5th, 2007. Amsterdam's coffee shops... opt for happy hens. The famous... You guys are purposely not going to make jokes now until I go to breaking news, aren't you?
You're interrupting the breaking news for this.
The famous...
Eggs?
Happy hens. Wait, you got to hear this. The famous Amsterdam coffee shops in Holland are turning to free-range hens for their space cakes. Coffee shops in Holland are aiming to reduce the suffering of chickens... by turning to free-range chicken eggs used to make cake specialties, space cakes, which are baked with marijuana or hashish.
Oh, big shock there.
Wait, so they're making pot omelets?
Kind of. No, instead of using eggs to make their pot brownies from caged hen, they're using free-range eggs.
Free-range pot brownies.
Yes, free-range pot brownies. Coffee shop owners were completely unaware and shocked that their space cakes are not animal-friendly, said a spokeswoman for the Dutch animal rights group Wakker Dier, campaigning against the use of eggs from chickens kept in cages on battery farms.
I have to sit here in my hemp clothing and make everyone believe just like me.
Yes, and they felt that they were living the hypocrisy by not using animal-friendly eggs, which is kind of ridiculous when you consider that in order to have the eggs, you have to kill an animal.
I'm sorry,
brownies?
But Cartman said it best. Hippies, they say they want to change the world. All they do is smoke pot and smell bad.
Now, if you guys want to deal with the breaking news, I have no problem with that.
Okay. We've got breaking news.
Excellent.
So, a little while back, we talked about the gay bomb.
No, we never talked about the gay bomb.
We never talked about the gay bomb?
Okay, We've never talked about the gay bomb. But back when I first started blogging
Hang on. I'm getting there. Because, the story was originally written by our friends on Fox.
You're watching Fox. Shame on you.
Or actually, was it this one?
It's a giant horse's ass.
Whatever. What happened to You're Watching Fox button?
I don't know. Can you get on with this?
Okay, basically what the gay bomb does is that it scientifically, you drop it on your enemies, and it somehow scientifically makes it so that they don't want to fight you, they want to have sex with each other.
Right. The Air Force confirmed that in 1994, a military researcher requested $7.5 million to develop a non-lethal love bomb that would chemically alter the state of mind of enemy troops and make them want to have sex with each other rather than fight.
Which just proves what priests and Jesus have to say, that being gay is a choice, not a whatever.
Yes, it's not genetic. It's either a choice or it's a chemical weapon.
Right.
In any case.
Well, apparently the gay bomb won a science award.
Well, the gay bomb ended up falling into the dustbin of weapons history because it is, in fact, a chemical weapon, and there is a chemical weapons ban in this country, and since we're not Saddam Hussein and Bush is not Hitler, which I'll be talking about in a later column, they got rid of the gay bomb. However, research on the gay bomb has gotten out, and it won the Ig Nobel Award, and this is from the BBK.
Here's the thing, though. The gay bomb winning the science award isn't what's funny here.
How could it not be?
Well, what's funny is some of the other awards that won awards.
Yeah, let me get through this, okay? Yes, I just snorted.
2007, Ig Nobel winners. In medicine, someone won an award for probing the health consequences of swallowing a sword. There was a physics award who ironed out the problem.
Maybe we should trade because you're not going to make it through this.
Guys, come on. A little professionalism here, okay?
Okay. In physics, they tackled the problem of how sheets become wrinkled.
In biology, Dr. Johanna von Brunswick of the Netherlands for carrying out a creepy-crawly census of all the mites, insects, spiders, ferns, and fungi that share our bed.
There was a chemistry award to develop how to extract vanilla fragrance from flavoring cow dung. Someone studied that rats are apparently unable to tell the difference between someone speaking Japanese backwards and Dutch backwards.
Wait, one more time. That was the Nobel winner for linguistics, and they proved that rats are unable to tell the difference between a person speaking Japanese backwards and someone speaking Dutch backwards.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, did this come from a study where they were doing it like regular, where they were speaking Dutch and Japanese, and the rats couldn't tell that either? Do the rats know Japanese? That's what I'm asking. Okay, does Splinter really exist?
He might.
Is he out there with Ninja Turtles going, I made a funny, with the staff and everything else?
I believe the word you're looking for is cowabunga.
It might very well be. Hang on, there's more. In nutrition, they investigated the limits of human appetite by feeding volunteers a bottomless bowl of soup.
Oh, you missed one. The literature Ig Nobel Peace Prize winner was Glenn Brown of Blue Mountains, Australia, for her study of the word the and how it can flummox those trying to put things into alphabetical order.
But here come the best two.
Flummox?
Flummox.
Yes, it can flummox. It can confuse. It can befuddle.
In economics, go ahead.
Pete.
I'm just purely vexed by all this.
Okay. Well, we've got two more. In economics, they patented a device that can catch bank robbers by dropping a net over them, which I believe is done by the Acme Corporation.
I haven't even read all these. That was a new one.
And in aviation, my favorite one, apparently they discovered that infancy drugs can help hamsters recover from jet lag.
Which is good, because I happen to know a lot of hamsters that do business traveling.
I bet you know a lot of hamsters.
It fills me with confidence because I know that cure for AIDS is going to be around the corner any second now.
Because there's a lot of money going out there, going to excellent research.
I mean, if we can cure hamsters of jet lag, we have to be able to cure, like, you know, AIDS and cancer.
They've already got the cure for AIDS. They just won't give it to anyone.
Oh.
It's the conspiracy music again.
Go put your tinfoil hat on.
Actually, tinfoil doesn't really work that well. It actually attracts more radio signals.
Isn't
there
that the
point?
No, I guess it's to protect you from the radio signals. But the gay bomb won the Peace Prize, which is really funny when you consider that it's supposed to be used as a warring weapon. But, yeah, the U.S. Air Force Wright Laboratory for instigating research and development on a chemical weapon that would provoke widespread homosexual behavior among enemy troops. My question is, does it only work on just men? I mean, is it like a male pheromone bomb where...
Wow, that's an excellent question, and I think we should do that research for next year.
Neither one of us has a chemistry degree, though.
Yeah, but I'm sure we can find someone.
This is true. Maybe we should write a proposal for the U.S. government to see if we can find a lesbian gay bomb.
Yeah.
And, you know, and though it doesn't take much. So could you imagine that being used in some of the offices across America? And
not
I'm not saying my office.
I'm not saying my office either, just because.
But that's my point. Could you imagine, there are just some places where some very unattractive women work, and what if you dropped a gay bomb on them? And then showed footage to attacking soldiers. Would it work just the same?
It's possible. I mean, I just think we can only use a female gay bomb on girls who are hot.
I think that would have to be the law. I think we have to write that into the treaty.
Like, I mean, or even like attractive. Like, you know, I think we should test it going to like Mulcahy's or the Crazy Donkey and just drop the bomb there and see what happens.
Wow, that was real regional. You know, we had a listener from Oklahoma.
You know, there's at least maybe three of us that know those places.
And maybe one of us has been to them because I've certainly never been to the Crazy Donkey.
You're not missing much.
I got that impression.
Yeah, I got that impression every time we passed it.
Dave and Buster's is right up the block, and they have video games.
Except, didn't you get thrown out of Dave and Buster's because you weren't dressed appropriately?
Nope. I know someone who did.
He was talking about me.
That person is on the air with me right now. You got a 50-50 shot of getting it right.
Well, let me see. It wasn't me because I have some file sense. I think we're talking about Mark.
Oh, you got it.
Mark was dressed inappropriately for going to an arcade.
Well, apparently it was after hours where they started to ID, and they said, no, you can't come in like that. I said, but I want to play video games. No, not like that, you're not.
You're not even telling them what I was wearing, though, that got me thrown out of an arcade.
Probably sweatpants and a plaid hat.
Close.
Actually, you're kind of close. They were plaid sweatpants.
Actually, they were plaid pajama pants.
So you showed up in your pajamas.
I was going to a freaking arcade. I didn't feel the need to dress.
Okay, I understand that feeling need to get dressed up, but you still need to dress, meaning put clothes on.
Technically, they're plaid pants. They're just cotton plaid pants. I mean, they pass for going out pants and pajama pants. They doubled.
Yeah, but going out with your teddy bear under your arm like that, I mean,
yeah.
I knew you were asking for trouble.
And a hoodie.
And your blue security blanket.
I won't play Tekken.
And what's even worse about that is they got rid of the fire engine game that I always liked to play.
So basically,
you'll have to wrap your hands around that big hose, Mark.
Maybe.
That makes the pain go away for a little while.
That's why you showed up wearing pajamas.
Yeah, Pete, if you keep this up, I'm going to drop a gay bomb on you while you're playing D&D. Hi, Tony.
I mean,
got nothing to say now, huh, Pete?
It's like a big gay bomb on me. No.
If
it's like,
play...
I'm married. I'm dead inside.
Hi, Lori.
if they're playing D&D, isn't that kind of a waste of a bomb?
Ouch. Hey, you just got invited back into the group. You're going to get yourself ostracized out again.
It's like, oh, good. Take on the D&D. Let's watch what happens.
Let's see what happens when John picks on D&D nerds and they start pulling out weapons.
It's like, hey, John, would you like to come up, play some paintball with us? It's all of us against you, and you get to wear this little bell around your neck. We're going to give you a 2-minute head start. Go.
And hey, look, it's time for the PC Life Book Club.
Excellent. One of us should decide to hit the button and not the other.
Well, could
that was...
I like to go out dancing. My baby loves a bunch of authors. My heart's so broke and bleeding.
Baby just sitting there
doing some reading.
Well, considering it was my joke to interrupt us before we started making fun of me, I figured I'd be the one to hit the button.
Meh. Okay. John, after years of having this book, has finally gotten around to reading and reviewing it. And it had the dubious honor of giving us our single one-day hit record since we restarted the blog.
I didn't have the book for years. I had the book for a month, and I read it 3 days after I got it. Because it wasn't coming out the end of October, took my time to review it.
Uh-huh.
But yes, A Lion's Tale, Around the World in Spandex by Chris, former and maybe current professional wrestler Chris Jericho.
Tell us about it.
Okay. It was an excellent, excellent book. It was, unlike a lot of the WWE ones that come out, he actually wrote it himself. So it's more aligned to like a Mick Foley book as opposed to all the other books that are ghostwritten just every so often. Basically, they're ghostwritten in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually talked about, you know, stuff and you know, honest opinions on things. And, I mean, you get drawn in right away because Jericho essentially became wrestling fans when a lot of us did in, you know, the glorious days of rock and wrestling. So his stories about, like, going to the shows and asking people stupid questions. And just like, you know, some of the shows that he saw and like that he missed, it was like he was telling our story. You know,
that was one of the things that connected you to him in the book itself was hearing your own voice on the page.
Yeah, I mean there was even a similar story when that was almost like my story when we both missed it when Ted DiBiase paid off the evil twin ref and stole the world title from Hulk Hogan. The only difference is I missed it because I was camping. He missed it because he was working in a deli.
How old is Chris Jericho?
35, maybe.
Okay, so he's not that much older than us.
No, I think it's only a couple years. I believe he was born in the 70s.
Okay. I know one of my earliest. I didn't know Chris Jericho from his ECW days, and for those people who are listening who aren't familiar with Chris Jericho the wrestler, or don't watch wrestling at all. Wrestling has always been dominated by guys that look like Hulk Hogan or guys that look like my grandfather circa 10 years ago, which is really, really fat, balding guys.
Yes.
Not
wearing
pants. So it was either Earthquake or Hulk Hogan. But if you went to Mexico or you went to Japan, you would see guys that looked, you know, like human beings who could do a lot of gymnastic-type aerial moves off the top rope. Or you would see, again, smaller guys who were very technically proficient. You know, picture Bret Hart, who's probably one of the better technical wrestlers of in the last 20 years, just slightly smaller frame, so they're able to do a lot more. Chris Jericho was among a group of up-and-coming wrestlers of that caliber who had gone to Japan, who had gone to Mexico, and then entered ECW. And from ECW, he went to the WWE's main competitor at the time, WCW, and that's where I first ran into Chris Jericho.
Yeah, and now, I mean, a lot of the, you know, the travels from Mexico and Japan and ECW and Tennessee and all the other places, it was your basic journeyman wrestler story. There was nothing. It's still interesting to read, especially if you're a fan of his and just read his thoughts on things and some of the other wrestlers. But it was when he got the WCW, because when you know, if you got drawn in as a fan from the rock and wrestling 80s, you're really going to get drawn in as an internet dork from the mid-90s who used to read all the websites and wrestling tabloids about the behind-the-scenes stuff. Because this was, I mean, Jericho gave a first-hand account.
Now, like, he talks about, one of my favorite stories that came out of Chris Jericho was, and again, this is a little inside baseball here, but Chris Jericho was a mid-card wrestler. He never made it, I think, above their second-tier title, if he made it that far at all. In WCW.
Well, let's start from the beginning quickly, because just to give an idea to how messed up and, you know, one hand didn't know what the other was doing in WCW, Chris Jericho was already flying in to meet with the president of the company to sign, like, a multi-year deal when he got, meaning he had his plane ticket, he was getting ready to pack, he was leaving the next day, when he got a call from the booker, which one of the producers from WCW, to say, oh, by the way, we want to bring you in for a tryout. So, middle management wanted to bring him in for a tryout to see if he's good enough without knowing that the president was flying him in to sign him to a three-year deal.
That's got to be an uncomfortable conversation. Go ahead, Pete.
It's like, I thought I had the job. What do you mean? What? Huh? What?
I don't understand.
But I got first class airfare.
That had to have given Chris Jericho a red flag as to what he was getting himself into.
That's exactly what he said.
Isn't this the same company that threw, hot coffee into Eddie Guerrero's face?
Yes, and then tried to make an angle out of it, only they forgot the fact that Eddie Guerrero, great wrestler, not so much as far as the acting skills go.
you mean Eddie Guerrero's Latino heat
WWE Latino heat, Los Guerreros, Eddie Guerrero, he learned how to act on top of the great wrestling. But I just remember the angle on WCW United Tour where Eddie Guerrero was quitting, and he had his luggage, and he's in the ring.
And they played the sad Incredible Hulk music as he walked away.
No, see, that would have been good. But he looked at the camera, he throws a cup of water in his face, and says, see, Eric Bischoff, I threw coffee on myself this time.
I'm going to save you the trouble.
That was just bad.
Years later, WCW created one halfway decent megastar named Bill Goldberg, and they created him in the visage of a mixed martial arts fighter who just decimated everyone in his path because he couldn't wrestle.
Yeah.
So he would just knock them down, and that would be the end of it, and they would just forever be dead. They did it. They started running an angle where Chris Jericho was taunting Bill Goldberg, and the payoff should have been a Goldberg-Jericho match. Instead,
well, this is actually a fascinating story because the final star for Chris Jericho was when the Bill Goldberg thing fell apart. And this all happened to happen backstage at Nitro at Nassau Coliseum, where I was working as a runner. So, as I was sitting on a road case, leaned up against the wall, hitting on one of the Nitro girls and waiting for someone to send me for candy or something.
Can I ask you a question? Did you sniff one of the Nitro girls' panties like you did Britney Spears?
Well, I didn't actually sniff Britney Spears' panties, but we did go through her panty drawer.
Okay, continue.
Okay. I didn't realize all this was going on in Eric Bischoff's office, which was literally 10 feet away from me, where basically it was Jericho, Goldberg, Bischoff, and surprisingly enough, Hulk Hogan all arguing about, we didn't plan this feud, and I don't like that you're making fun of me, and, we're going to kill it. And Jericho's like, why? This is money. I don't care if you squash me, just do it on pay-per-view and have, the best squash match ever, but, fans are actually into this. And so I guess they agreed to do the angle on they told Jericho that, okay, we're going to do the angle. It'll lead to a pay-per-view match. And at this point, I got herded into the production office because they were shooting Goldberg coming in where he's going to walk in a building with his security, go into, his dressing room, and then run out to attack Jericho. So I'm in the production office with the entire production team, stage managers, PAs, and everything, plus Kevin Nash and the Giant. And we're all watching the Jericho-Goldberg angle on TV, and everyone loved it. Especially Nash and John. Everyone was into the angle. It's like, wow, this is great. We're laughing. When Goldberg ran out and speared him, the entire room popped. So, the fans and people, other than, the people in charge, everyone was actually really into this angle. The next week, they killed it without a warning. Next week comes along, and Chris Jericho is feuding with Bobby Duncombe Jr.
At which point, Chris Jericho threw his pants at Eric Bischoff and said, that's it, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I've had enough.
It's like, you get to fight the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, but more or less. that was actually another thing when he was signing a deal with Bischoff. Where Bischoff's like, yeah, we see you coming in being our Shawn Michaels. And Jericho's like, well, that's great. Shawn Michaels is a big superstar. And then Bischoff says, yes, I really want to put you in a feud with Brad Armstrong. I can really see this Jericho-Armstrong thing. And if you're saying who, when I say Brett Armstrong, exactly.
That's like saying we really see you being a Shawn Michaels.
That's the road dog, Jesse James.
No,
that's his brother with even less charisma.
Yes. That is his last charismatic brother.
Charismatic?
Charismatic.
Okay.
What?
So, in total, why would you recommend this book to people, even if... Well, would you recommend this book to people who aren't wrestling fans, and why would you recommend this book in general?
Well, I probably want to recommend it to people who are wrestling fans just because they probably some know that wrestling, and a lot of it had to do with wrestling. But as far as wrestling fans go, it's the most honest wrestling book. It's been out for a while. It, you know, sure as hell beats all the WWE stuff. And you could tell that, I mean, when you could, it's like the McFoley books. When you could tell that the person wrote it himself, and you could tell that it's their voice, and you could tell it's actually them telling you the stories, it makes a big difference in the book.
Indeed. With the last few remaining minutes we have left, first let me say that if you're listening to the show live, once again at 11 o'clock, the show cuts off. And you, what if we continue on, which we probably will, then you have to listen to the, you have to download the show from the archives, which will go up shortly after we finally do conclude the show. So if you are listening live and you all of a sudden hear us cut off, that's normal. That's the way this works. However, you can hear the entire show in its entirety moments after we conclude it, which will be no later than 11:30. If you come back to blogtalkradio.com/PCLive, you can download the show and hear what we talked about at the end, which is a new study that's come out.
Yes. We're going to be looking at different, you know, interesting studies that come out in the future. It's going to be like a recurring segment. And we actually have a sponsor for this study. This report is being brought to you by the research firm of No Shit, Sherlock, and Epstein.
And the study says boys and men worry less. This is a real study, folks, just like the gay bomb. October 1st, a U.S. study found females more likely think negative events predict future events, and this may explain why women perceive more risk and have more anxiety. This would also explain why the last series of my dates went badly. This study, they didn't write that.
I think there's a lot more that would explain why the last couple of your dates went badly, but go ahead.
What were you going to say, Pete?
Did they listen to the show? Did you call them?
Well, I'll tell you what. My new rule now is when I do go out on dates, I encourage them not to listen to the show. As I said at the top of this thing.
I just felt the need of repeating.
Yes. If you're listening to the show and you're dating me, don't.
You might just be a fat bastard.
Shut up. The study published in China. You're eating during the show too?
Mm-hmm.
I hate you both. The study published in Child Development found that children and adults believe negative past events forecast negative future events. However,
a spinach or a broccoli quiche.
However, young girls and women more likely to believe negative past events predict future harm compared to males. Using a sample of 128 people that included children ages 3 to 6 as well as adults, the researcher tested reactions to stories involving negative events and found female children and adults more frequently explained characters' reactions motivated by possible versus certain harm and more frequently predicted characters encountering someone who only looks similar to one causing past harm would feel worried.
Now, I'm sorry, is Pete snoring or is he really enjoying his quiche?
Probably a little bit of both. Here's why.
Blah, women anxiety, blah, blah, men not worry, blah.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the whole point of this, is kind of no kidding.
That's basically the story.
At the end of the story, you know, men get upset because now they have to deal with women worrying.
Yeah. It's like, so basically what the research is saying is that women worry about stupid shit that just isn't important.
Right. And they do this a lot more often than men do, which I can't believe someone got a research grant for this.
What's so hard to believe?
You ever see the movie PCU?
Yes, one of the greatest movies of all time.
I mean, the one line, you can major in Game Boy if you could BS enough, I honestly think we're getting to that point. You could do a research on Game Boy if you want.
Well, clearly they have. If the Ig Nobel award ceremony is proof of that, they fucking researched. And I know I just cursed and I shouldn't have, but you know what? Who cares? 30 seconds to the end of the show.
Yes.
They did research on whether or not them hamsters can suffer from jet lag and whether or not, what is it, like Viagra helps them to get over it?
Yes. Whether or not empathy drugs help cure jet lag in hamsters.
Which, I need to go into the business of doing of writing research grants.
Yeah.
Because I, too, can write a research grant that proves men like to look at boobs.
Well, actually, what I've been learning, there's a surprisingly enough amount of women who enjoy looking at boobs also.
Yeah, apparently John runs an informal poll on his blog about women looking at boobs, and he gets rather interesting results.
Yes, mainly from women.
Yes. Because
you know,
guys talk about it, they'll get yelled at, but if women talk about it, it's hot.
Yeah, well, it is hot. You know, women love their titties. More importantly, they love each other's titties, too.
Indeed.
Yeah, now, I just got one question.
Yes, sir.
The scientific community that came up with the gay bomb, are those guys that were, like, looking at the movie Flash Gordon and said, hey, if we got a weapon that can do that, we'll be okay?
I refresh my memory. It wasn't a gay bomb, though, that made Dale Ardenal swoon.
They were x-rays from Planet Porno.
Oh, we're talking about Flesh Gordon. I thought you meant Flash Gordon.
No. I thought you said Flesh Gordon. Yeah, Flesh Gordon makes more sense.
Maybe they were, hey, listen, scientists, they like their porn, they're up late at night, they're trapped in laboratories with white coats. Listen, they may be watching Flesh Gordon and getting ideas. One never knows. The problem is that they actually got money for this. I seriously think that there should be an exception to the chemical bomb ban, and that we should be able to use the gay bomb.
Well, no,
I honestly think that if we were dropping gay bombs on Iraq, number one, we wouldn't have the problem that we have right now. Number two, you wouldn't have people protesting the war.
No, but you'd have Mahmoud coming over and wiping everybody out. Oh, you're all gay. You know you must die.
Ha, you're gay now.
Nope, no gay people here anymore.
That's okay. I'm not even talking about Iran. I'm talking about Iraq. The problem with Iraq is that, you know, the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds don't love each other. And if they did,
they'd be loving each other too much. And not to mention it's population control, because if people go gay, they can't procreate.
This is true. Thank you, Margaret Sanger.
Who?
I'm sorry. I got this from Intellectual Moron. She's the one that created Planned Parenthood.
Oh, okay.
And she believed in eugenics and population control.
Okay.
Which is why she was into abortion.
Well, no, I definitely believe in population control. I believe people should be responsible before having kids.
Well, God, we don't have another whole hour to get into that.
Procreation, not recreation.
Yes. Okay, tune in again next week at 10 a.m. We will all be here, Mark, Reverend John, Pete, to bring you the best in politics, pop culture, pugilism, and brick. And this time, hopefully, they'll participate in the BGEC and not just leave me out there stranded.
Well, I wanted to participate, but you scolded me.
I'm sorry, Captain Sensitive.
Today.
What do we got on? I know next week we will be featuring a new segment called This Week in Nude, because it seems like every week there's some odd story that features somebody naked doing something. And I felt the need to feature this because it is happening way too much, much like our ridiculous studies that we do.
At least once a week.
Yeah, at least.
So, and actually, if anyone listening right now happens to have an idea what we could use for a theme for This Week in Nudes, I'm kind of running out of ideas. So hey, email us.
Yes, if you've got any idea what makes a good naked theme, we'd appreciate hearing it because I got nothing. I mean, I listen to death metal. No one's naked in death metal.
I mean, I was thinking Methods of Mayhem, Get Naked, but that would require me doing a Tommy Lee song, and I just can't make that commitment.
I was thinking Let's Get Buck Naked and F by Ice-T, but I don't even think that's on the internet anymore.
Dude, everything's on the internet. The only difference is if you type in Let's Get Buck Naked and F, it's going to be hard to find the Ice-T song in the middle of all of it.
Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I think I might have to ring in on this one and come up with a song.
Excellent.
I think I got the collection for it.
Excellent. This week's theme brought to you by Lords of Acid.
Yeah, kind of like how I listen to classic rock and Mark listens to death metal. Pete likes the naked rock.
It's more the grunge rock. I like that, some of that too. I like, I'm the little goth boy on the staff.
Wonderful. So our theme's going to be 20 minutes of Wolfsheim.
Naked. Naked.
All right.
Whoop, boobs.
Actually, I think I was just going to go with Sit on Acid, but now that sounds like a much better idea. Thanks, guys.
No,
you're the bestest.
that actually wouldn't be bad if we got like 45 seconds of just like your basic, you know, like techno beat, and just after every 5 beats we say like naked or boobs or something. That should be the theme.
Which one was I sit on acid, Pete? Was that the sit on my face one?
Yeah, that one, and that's it. Darling, come here. Now, buggock me in the ass.
Okay, I didn't say this week in hardcore sex. I said this week in nude.
Yeah, you know, it's just a matter of time before it turns into that, okay? First we start with the game. I'm now having this week in nudes. What's next, okay? What happens to the raw professionalism of this show?
I'll be honest with you. I'm impressed that he went with now buggock me in the ass.
Darling, come here. Put me in the rear. Dun, dun. No one else is understanding what this is about. So here's a good time to say.
Put it in my pocket. Some Lords of Acid, learn something.
So tune in again next week at 10 a.m. Also, and I'm just going to leave out a small trailer here. In a month or so, we're going to be having a very, 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 very special evening edition of PC Live.
Inside the Bagok Studios.
So
we're going to get to learn the inner Mark Radulich.
So that's all I'm going to say about that for now, because we've got a lot of things in the works there. Very, very special event
planned. Is this the show I think it is, guys?
Yes.
It is the show you think it is.
Oh, I'll get my material ready.
You've got a month or two.
Some paperwork still needs to be signed.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I think it's going to easily turn into the Mark Radulich Celebrity Roast.
Yeah. In any case, so
I should never run for office.
Yes.
that's been well documented.
After this show, Mark won't be able to run for dog catcher.
Or King Priest of Istar.
Or Grand Poobah.
So tune in next week, 10 a.m., www.blogtalkradio.com/PCLive. Check us out on the web. Our blog is pc-live.tv. You can also see some of my exclusive writing at 411mania.com/politics. You can also check out John's UFC musings at insidefights.com. Thank you. I wasn't sure if it was like .net, .tv. You can check out John and his Inside Fight column at insidefights.com.
Well, you could also check out John's, you know, 5 Ounces of Fury column on PCLive.tv.
And that's it. Thank you guys for joining the show. We will see you next week at 10 a.m. here on PC Live.